Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The words of Jesus from our gospel lesson for today, he says, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give to you the kingdom." What a promise we have. God's promise to give us the kingdom, to take care of the rest. And so we seek to be people who live by faith, trusting in the very promises of our God. Well, not too long ago, our 23-year-old daughter, Micah, came across an old photo album that she used to carry around when she was a little girl. It was, you know, the days before iPhones and iPads, and you had those little pocket albums. I'm sure you had to take a picture with the camera, and then had to go to the drugstore, and they would develop it. You'd get the pictures back about 3 days later, it seemed like, and then you'd put them in these little photo albums, and you'd look at them. And she really liked looking at those pictures. She'd carry, I remember carrying her carrying that around with her. And in the album were the traditional pictures of family, a young looking mom and dad. Things have changed in 23 years. Grandparents, aunts and uncles, and there were pictures of Micah with her favorite toys. And then there were all these pictures of all kinds of animals, zebras and giraffes, a lot of donkeys for some odd reason, and horses, and lions and tigers, things like that. Now, she understood, she came to us and she said, I understand the pictures of families and toys and those things, but why the animals? And we told her, when you were younger, you really loved animals, and you would look at those pictures for hours on end. Now, most kids that I know of, they love animals. They love going to the zoo and having a pet and watching about them on TV. And Disney certainly understands the fascination, don't they, and the money that they can make. Maybe some of you saw the remake of the Lion King that was released a few weeks back. Now, those days are kind of over for me. I didn't see the Lion King. But it reminded me of a story I once heard about a lion who loved to make sure that everybody knew that he was king of the jungle. And so as he was making his rounds around the plains, and he'd run into certain animals, he would always ask them, who was the king? Who is the king of the jungle? And he came upon a group of gentle impalas, and he asked, who's the king of the jungle? And they replied, "Well, you are, certainly, you're the king of the jungle." And he would tilt his head back and roar as loud as he could to make sure everybody knew. He came upon the zebras, and he would ask that same question, "Who's the king of the jungle?" And they would say, "Well, you are the king of the jungle." Well, one day the lion approached the elephant with the same question, "Who's the king of the jungle?" And the elephant, took him a moment to respond, and he didn't say anything except for he grabbed a hold of the lion and picked him up with his trunk. And he spun him around and he tossed him to the ground, and he proceeded to step on the lion over and over again. Beaten and bruised, the lion looked up and he said to the elephant, "Just because you don't know the answer doesn't mean you have to get so upset." Now, it seems to me that we don't always know the answer either. Somehow we think we're in charge. Somehow we think we have it all figured out as we seek to build our own kinds of kingdoms. But maybe you've noticed that just doesn't work. As we deal with dysfunction, as we face futility, as we experience a whole lot of anxiety. But you see, Jesus promises us something more. A place in His kingdom where we can set aside our fears and our worries and live as people of faith and as people of action. For you see, as citizens of Jesus' kingdom, we have the very promises of our God. For this God of ours is a promise maker. Over and over again, we recognize that in the scriptures. And those promises that He makes are incredible. I mean, we heard some of them this morning, didn't we? That promise to Abraham and to Sarah that He was going to give them children and descendants as many as the stars in the sky. Our God is a promise maker, and He's made those promises to you and to me. Promises that assure us that we are truly blessed people as we live as forgiven people. Promises that assure us of His protection and His providence over us. Promises that when we actually listen to them and take them in, give us a hope and a future. And it's these promises that God makes to you and me that can actually begin to change us. But you see, it's more than God being a promise maker. This God of ours is a promise keeper, as He does what He says He's going to do. And thankfully, He's doing a new thing. You see, He's in the process of molding and changing us, so that we can be the people He made us to be. His sons and daughters, the very children of God who have our citizenship in His kingdom. So that we can live our lives with unshakable hope. And that's why this summer we've really spent some time focusing in on some of these promises of our God. And today we're turning to the promise of Jesus from Luke 12:31. God's promise to you and to me that He'll take care of us. Listen to it. He says, "But seek His kingdom. Seek God's kingdom, not your own, and all these things will be given to you as well." You see, with this promise, God gives to us an invitation. An invitation to come to Him, to listen to Him, to trust in Him as we know and believe that He will provide for us when we look to Him. As we follow in the way of Jesus, for He looked to His Father. And in Jesus, God's Son and our Savior, we have one who did for us what we don't always do for ourselves, what we can't do for ourselves. For you see, in His death and resurrection, Jesus kept the promises of His Father, giving to us what we so desperately need so that we can now begin to stand secure on the promises of God, even as we start to live out those promises in our day-to-day life. Because this is what we've been called to do as followers of Jesus. Not just to hear these promises, but to hear them and then begin to implement them and live them out in our day-to-day life. Live them out. Live out our faith. Put our faith in action so that those around us, our neighbors, those who come after us, begin to understand and see this life-changing love of God. And this really begins to happen when we're living with unshakable hope. When we're not worried and anxious and all stressed out. But when we are people who are, even in the hardest circumstances of life, trusting that there is real life, that there is abundant life when we trust in the one who promised us the kingdom. Well, they say it just keeps on coming. If you've been to a beach in South Florida, you may know what I'm talking about. You see, seaweed is taking over the white sandy beaches, and it's stinky and it's slimy and it's pretty yucky from what people are saying. But here's the thing, it just keeps on coming. As soon as it's bulldozed into piles and trucked away, there just seems to be more. Now, warming temperatures and current flows seem to be the problem. That's what they're saying. But maybe you know that feeling. As troubles and heartaches and disappointments just keep on coming. No matter what you try, no matter what you do, no matter who you are, these things just keep coming. And as a result, what do we try to do? Oftentimes, we try to take control as we seek to do things our way, building our own kingdoms, if you will, according to our wills and according to our truth. But maybe you've noticed that these kind of kingdoms that we try to build for ourselves seem to cause a whole lot of anxiety, don't they? Because you see, the kind of kingdoms that we seek to build, they are exclusive. I'll build my kingdom and you build yours. And some people are in, you know, those that like us and those that we are comfortable with are with, and those who can usually do something for us, those people are in our kingdoms, but everybody else, you stay away. These kingdoms that we try to build, if you've noticed, are pretty fragile, aren't they? They're here today and they're gone tomorrow. They don't last because we don't last. But more than that, these kingdoms that you and I try to build, they're destructive. As they destroy community instead of building it up. And so we find ourselves alone in these kingdoms that we build, and we're afraid and we're anxious and we're unable to live as God would have us to live. But you see, this morning we learn, don't we, that there's another kind of kingdom. God's kingdom. And Jesus says it's ours. It's yours and mine as we live, Roman numeral 1, as we live a life of faith. As we trust in God's promises. For you see, God's kingdom is not exclusive. It's open to all. No matter your past, no matter your present, no matter your struggles, no matter your failures, no matter your mess ups, no matter your color, no matter what, this kingdom is open to you. And it's not fragile. You see, this kingdom that God has established, this kingdom is eternal. Because you see, this kingdom is not destructive, but it is life-giving. And this new way of life that God wants for us is ours now. And it can be yours for all of eternity. And as a result, Jesus wants to show us how to live in it. As we point number one, as we entrust ourselves to God's care. You see, we have a God who provides. That's what Jesus is saying, isn't he? In this text, we have a God who provides for you. Now, food to eat and clothes to wear and so, so much more. I mean, I was just kind of dumbfounded the other night. We were at Feed My Starving Children, and just some of the statistics that they were talking about, how many people in our world go hungry at night. Go hungry. They don't eat. That's not a problem, I don't think, for any of us. I mean, one of the statistics that the number of people that die each day from starvation would be like Naperville North High School being wiped out in 2 days. He's gone. That's what's happening. We have a God who provides for us so that we can provide for others. And yet, what do? We worry, don't we? Will we have enough? Will God really take care of me? We wonder. Does God care? Does God listen? And we get anxious. Even though our plates are overflowing and we've got so many clothes in our closet, we get anxious and we get worried. You see, God does. This God of ours provides for his people because he is good. As he wants what is best for us, even when it doesn't always make sense. Even as he gives us what we need, even when we want more. As we learn, Jesus teaches us, as we learn to, point number two, seek first his kingdom. And what does that mean? Well, it's really simple. It's asking God to reign in our lives. Lord, be the Lord of my life. It's not about my kingdom. It's about yours. Asking God to reign in our lives even as we are distracted by the things of this world, by the lies and the brokenness, by our desire to be in control. And these things cause us to give up as we live in fear, as we are overcome by anxiety. These things that speak to us, these lies and this brokenness and this desire to be in control, they cause us to give in to the things of this world, to the selfishness and the greed and the pride. But it doesn't have to be that way. Jesus is saying, as we simply ask that God's kingdom would come to us, into our lives, into our church, into our community. I mean, isn't that what we're praying when we pray the Lord's Prayer? Thy kingdom come. Lord, we want your kingdom here. We want it in our lives, in our church, in our community. Help us to make that happen. Trusting that his will be done as we, point number three, as we experience our God's rich provisions. For you see, God has given to you, he's given his very best. He has given his very son, who actually gave up the kingdom for you and me. He came for you and for me, taking our fears, taking our doubts, taking our sin, dying the death that we deserve so that we can live a new kind of life. Roman numeral 2, that we can start to live a life of action as we take this faith of ours and as we put it to work. As we live a life that's actually blowing things up, if you will. I don't know if you heard about the woman whose toilet exploded during a thunderstorm. I guess you could say it was an explosive situation. You see, lightning actually hit near her septic tank and combined with the methane gas and proceeded to produce quite an explosion. It blew her toilet to pieces. Thankfully, she wasn't on the toilet. But it got me thinking, isn't it about time for you and me who are followers of Jesus to actually have an impact on the world around us? Isn't that what we have been called to do? To put our faith into action as we, point number one, as we participate in this kingdom living. So how do we do it? Well, we set aside our fears, don't we? And live as people of love. Reaching out to our neighbor. I read an interesting quote this past week after the chaos and bloodshed that happened last week. And the man simply said, you know, we can make laws. We can fight about it in Congress. We can even try to get rid of all the guns. But if we really want to make a difference, go talk to your neighbor. Simply go talk to your neighbor. Don't be afraid. Reach out to the people around you. Now, that may take something to do that. That maybe means you have to learn to forgive. But here's the deal. We have all been forgiven. We have been forgiven. And we are called to take the first step, you see, as we seek to serve those around us. Because we have a God who has served us. And this begins to happen in your life and mine, not just by sheer willpower and say, I'm going to do this, but it actually begins when we're people of prayer, like Jesus taught us. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And then through his Spirit, actually putting some of these things into practice. As we are people who, point number two, begin to share the kingdom. Share what we have been given. Because you see, we've been given a hope. We've been given a future. Because we have been given God's promise that he will take care of the rest. God's kingdom has come, and it's come to you and to me. And as people who are following Jesus together, we can live by faith as we are people who put that faith into action. Amen. Now may God's peace, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.